Have your names, and then I'll serve you all a quart of the best ale and a pie of good whale meat and some taties to go with it.
They entered their names, Ryan taking the lead. In the column marked Ville, Ryan wrote Richmond, Virginia. The others followed, all giving the same Ville's name. Rodriguez looked at their names curiously.
So, what's your trade, friends? Women are cooks, I'll warrant. Red Eyes will be cabin boy, and the old geezer will be... Be what?
I'm a teacher, Mr. Rodriguez.
Could find work here. But Mr. Dixon, Mr. Carter, what might ye be? Mercies? Hired blasters? That's the cut of your jib as I spies it.
Ryan leaned across the bar and touched the man very gently on the cheek with the tip of his index finger.
What we do, friend, falls into the realm of our business. Do you understand me? Good. Then serve us your food and beer and show us where we're to sleep. That and no more.
The barkeep didn't speak for a moment. Then he brushed away Ryan's hand.
I've seen outlanders come to Claggartville, and I've seen them go. Go in many a different way, Mr. Cawdor. Keep thine own counsel, but step careful when thou goest from light into shadow, if thou takest my meaning. Now I'll fetch ye the food you're entitled to.
J.B. inhaled the cigar smoke, admiring the way the tip glowed brightly.
Been many a long day since I've enjoyed a smoke. The food was good, and the beer better. We've been in many a worse place, Ryan, haven't we?
Yeah. Shouldn't have had a third helping of that pie. Thought I could manage another quart of beer. Anyone else?
Everyone else had eaten and drunk enough. At Ryan's wave, the landlord bustled over to them, bringing another of the foaming mugs of the local brew. He placed it carefully in front of Ryan.
I'd like to see your rooms now.
Sure.
And on the morrow, you can set off to find yourself some work.
We'll see what's to do around the villa.
One of the men at a table near the window heard the conversation and called out something, but none of them could catch it.
What was that?
Japheth said Captain Quad was seeking extra crew for the next whaling voyage. Replace those lost last time. Might be something there for you, Mr. Cawdor.
Ryan wondered why all the laughter. Wondered who this Captain Quad might be. But he dismissed the name from his mind, as he knew he was never likely to make the acquaintance of the gentleman. They wouldn't be in Claggartville long enough for that.
And so to bed betimes.
The room was tucked under the eaves of the old house, with angled beams and tiny dormer windows. At its peak, the ceiling sloped just high enough for both Jack and J.B. to stand upright, but none of the others could avoid bumping their heads. Donphil had to stoop so low that his knuckles almost trailed on the wide floorboards. There were 10 beds in the room, single trundle beds, narrow and hard. The room had the cold, damp feel of not having been occupied for a long time. Which, from the evidence of the register down in the bar, it probably hadn't. Ryan opened one of the windows, pushing hard, for it was stiff, the hinges rusted. It finally opened, and he was able to look out over Claggartville, toward the harbor, a block or two away. The fog had settled down over the lower streets, courts, and alleys, finding a level around the middle of the second floor windows. For Ryan, a whole floor higher, it was an odd sight. The white mist writhing and undulating below him like a living blanket, with the roofs of houses poking up like the prows of old wrecked vessels, their chimneys smoking. There were lights to be seen, sometimes through the fog, like a host of drowned carriages, and voices muffled, and the ringing of heels on cobblestones. Just visible in the moonlight was the forest of masts, spars, and delicate rigging of the ships moored alongside the quays. Christy leaned on Ryan's shoulder.
Anything to see, lover?
Sailors. Always wondered what it must be like to go out in a small wooden water wag, right out of sight of land for days and weeks. Not that I ever want to find out.
Far below them, they could still hear the noise of the inn. Christy pointed to the alley.
Another customer.
There was a black-cloaked figure, foreshortened by their viewpoint, stumping along toward the rising flukes. They could only see the man through a peephole in the banks of fog, which swirled about the houses. They heard the front door of the inn being thrown open, and the sudden, instant total silence that followed.
Must be another outlander.
The door shut, and the mist swept back, and the alley vanished from their eyes. The night passed peacefully. The companions dressed, although none of them had taken off all their clothes or weapons for the night, and made their way down into the main room of the tavern. It was a little after 7 in the morning. The room had been swept and scrubbed, and the front door stood open to the bright morning sunlight. But the unpleasant odor of stale smoke and flat beer remained. Jedediah Rodriguez was watching tankards behind the bar and looked up at the sound of their feet on the stairs.
Ah, good morrow, Outlanders! Slept ye well?
He didn't wait for the answer, pointing them to a table in a bay window, calling out back for one of the servant girls to come and bring them something to break their fasts.
Going after work?
First, we need to pick our way around the ville. Suss out the good from the bad.
Nothing bad here in Claggartville, Mr. Cawdor. And thou might do well to remember that. Don't rock the boat is my motto. And you might want to take it up for thyself.
Ryan noticed the unveiled threat. Or was it just a warning? The food was plain but good. While the girl laid out the wooden platters, the landlord explained the simple facts of their economy in the ville. The whale oil and meat were traded up and down the coast of New England for other items of food or drink.
Don't grow much around here. Turnips and potatoes, peas and beans, not much corn or crops like that. Few cows, muddy chickens, and lots of fish. Here's your breakfast. Eat hearty.
The butter was heavily salted, and the variety of smoked fish, oppressive so early in the morning. But the eggs, mostly double and triple yolked, were golden and good. There was also some fatback, which Ryan guessed was another of the commodities that Claggartville traded for their whaling produce. The drink, in an orange enameled jug, was dark brown and scalding hot, and Christie correctly identified it as acorn coffee. Rodriguez came back as they were finishing off the meal. He beamed down at the empty plates.
Ah, you've done good, Outlanders. You've taken on the necessary stores for your voyage.
J.B. wiped the remnants of egg from his platter with a hunk of bread.
Who's Captain Quad?
The landlord of the tavern looked away, staring past them through the open door.
Looks like it'll be a goodish day. Fog's nigh lifted off the harbor already.
Ryan stood up slowly.
Man who rocks the boat ends up falling overboard, wouldn't you say, Jed?
Could be, Mr. Cawdor.
Then I'd be obliged if you'd answer our question to you.
Captain Quad?
Yeah.
Captain Quad's one of the richest skippers ever sailed from Claggartville.
And?
There's those as might say that to sail with Quad is to earn thy pay with the skin off thy back and maybe with thy mortal soul as well. But I don't say that. I just say that it's best to keep well to windward of Captain Quad, if thou catchest my drift on the matter.
I take your meaning, Jed. Thanks for it. We'll watch out for the captain.
Doc Tanner, with his sprouting side whiskers and his old-fashioned manners, fitted seamlessly into the daily round of life in the town of Claggartville. Even his clothes, with the stained frock coat and the cracked knee boots, attracted no attention from any of the locals. Ryan, with his eye patch and armory of weapons,